Welcome to the College Baseball Nation podcast. My name is John Peters, and I'm here with Kyle McKelvey. This week, we're recapping all the action that happened in the regionals and looking forward to next weekend's Super Regionals. Let's talk college baseball. Super Regionals are here, Kyle. Pretty exciting over the weekend watching regionals.
I mean, yeah, there was just so much baseball to watch. It was all fun. And I mean, just like I couldn't do it without like squeeze play. Rooney and Chris Button and Mike Schick, they were all so good. And I'm sure they were so tired, but
yeah, and we got an extra day of baseball with Old Dominion and Virginia getting pushed back. So like normally we only get 4 days of this, and this was a bonus game on the fifth morning. So the longest regionals we've had in a little while.
Yeah, I forgot about that until I like, because it was at, I think it was at 9 a.m. Eastern, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I woke up and I was like, oh my God, there's a game going on still.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, it was tied heading into the ninth, which I think was a pretty big theme of the weekend. There was really kind of two categories of games. Football score games where one team scored 20 something runs, and there were nail biters with close games and walk-offs. So let's get going. Let's talk about some of the action from regional play. And let's start off with one of those teams that put up a lot of football scores, and that's Notre Dame. I don't know if it was the 10 seed that they got and they were just pissed that they didn't get seeded higher as the ACC champ, but Notre Dame showed up to their South Bend regional and just crushed the competition, like utterly dominated.
Yeah, they outscored their opponents in three games, 50-5. They only let up 5 runs over 3 games, which is really good also. Like they shut down that UConn team that a lot of people picked to go to Omaha or maybe at least make it to the Super Regional round.
And that UConn team has some really talented position players and bats.
Yeah.
And Notre Dame beat them 26-3.
Yeah. And then they also shut down the Central Michigan team twice, only allowing 2 runs over 2 games. That Central Michigan team also just like was hammering home runs all weekend long. And they were, I mean, they're fun to watch in the dugout too. It's great. Just with, they had like a baby prop on sitting on a pinata. They were using the pinata and had a football helmet for the home run hitter and a cape. It was fantastic.
It's safe to say they did not take themselves too seriously, but at the same time, they had some pretty serious offense when they weren't playing Notre Dame. Pretty entertaining stuff in their elimination game against UConn. They had 8 bunts and 4 home runs, so getting it done with the small ball and the long ball. One player had 4 bunt singles in the game, which is
amazing.
Pretty ridiculous stat. I feel like if you were an infielder in that game and just kept getting bunt singled against you, I would just be over it. Like I would be done. Just I could not handle that, and then having a guy come up and be able to knock it over the wall.
Exactly. For Notre Dame, Nico Cavadas is a player that coming in was a really good player. He's hitting over 300 in the season, but he left the weekend with 5 home runs under his belt. That was, he had a great weekend.
Yeah, 5 home runs in 3 games. And the crazy stat about him is that during the ACC tournament, he had 8 straight at-bats where he struck out. Like
what?
He was not coming in. Like, I mean, like you said, he had a good year, but he was coming in pretty cold, and he heated up in a hurry with 5 bombs on the weekend. He's a big dude. None of those were really cheap shots. He was really drilling them. But now we have that Notre Dame team very loudly moves on to the Super Regionals, and they're going to face Mississippi State. They have to travel down to Starkville. Last time Mississippi State hosted a Super Regional was in 2019 against Stanford. They eliminated a really good Stanford team. And as we'll get to some predictions later, but I think it's going to be a really intriguing matchup. I think Notre Dame and Mississippi State both have a lot going for them. Let's head down south, though, a little bit. Let's go down to Fayetteville, because I think Fayetteville provided some of the most entertaining baseball on the weekend. First off, crowd showed up in Fayetteville. It was
absolutely
electric. The atmosphere there, I think, was not matched by any of the other regionals. And there were some regionals that had some pretty fun atmospheres. Knoxville had a really exciting atmosphere. The Dude was looking good, Swayze. Some of these super, regionals got a little slowed down by some rain, but I mean, Fayetteville, especially in that game 7 against Nebraska, it was literal chills watching that regional.
Yeah, I turned it on. I was busy yesterday watching all the other games and like work and stuff. And I turned it on and it was 2-2 in the eighth, bottom of the eighth. Arkansas had bases loaded with nobody out, I think, maybe two outs. I forget. But bases loaded, a pitch got away from the Nebraska pitcher and the place just went crazy. And then like the first pitch after that for the next batter, I think the last one was Welch, Charlie Welch. He hit a three run bomb that just like sent the whole place like on fire. Essentially, it was amazing. It was a great crowd and it was really cool.
I'm just stoked that they're hosting a super regional as well. Mm-hmm. It's going to be pretty exciting there. The best storyline out of that regional, I mean, it's hard not to say Kevin Copps. Feels like the answer to a lot of questions about who's the best or what's the most exciting or what's the most interesting. Like, however you finish that question, the answer is almost always Kevin Copps. He closed out game 7 of that regional with 7 scoreless innings in relief. That in and of itself is ridiculous, but it's adding on to that. It was his third appearance of the weekend. He came in against NJIT and calmed the storm in that game. He pitched once earlier in the weekend against Nebraska. So, I mean, you know how if you're a hitter and you see a guy multiple times, it gets easier and easier to hit him, right? Well, Nebraska nope. saw him in the winner's bracket and then saw him in game 7. 7 innings, he went through the lineup a couple times and he was dominant, did not give up a run in that game 7.
Yeah, I mean, 13.1 innings pitched on the weekend, only 6 hits allowed throughout that whole stretch over 3 games, and no runs the entire weekend. I mean, he's probably the Golden Spikes Award winner. Just you can just go ahead and give it to him.
Yeah, they announced the 25 semifinalists. He's on there, of course, but it really feels like his race to lose. I don't know what he could possibly do to lose the award at this point.
Just start all 3 games of the Super Regional. I think that's what he could do. to lose the game? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think he could lose it.
Yeah, I think you have to commit a felony.
Yeah, pretty much.
Seriously, though, Nebraska tested Arkansas, though. I think maybe that's a good runner-up for the best storyline there. It was obviously really difficult to gauge how good the Big Ten was without non-conference play. We talked about the South Bend Regional. Michigan was in that one, went 0-2. Maryland also made it to a regional final. But I think Nebraska definitely had the best showing of the 3 Big Ten teams that made the tournament. Do you think, there's been like Twitter rumblings of like maybe this Nebraska team actually deserved a host. We just didn't know that because they didn't play non-conference. What's your take? Do you think after watching that, this is a top 16 team in the country that Arkansas just eliminated?
No, I don't think so. And I don't say that just because they lost the weekend. They lost the weekend because it's Arkansas is a really good team. I just didn't think that, I don't know, if there was going to be one team out of the Big Ten that could host, I guess it would be them. I just don't see this year giving a Big Ten team a host spot. And we didn't have any pretty much the whole season long in our projections because there was just no way to tell if they were actually good or if they were just beating up on other bad teams. So,
yeah, I agree. It's a little tough. My gut still says this wasn't a top 16 team, but I don't think they were that far off of it. Like, I feel like watching this felt like a top 20, 25 type of team. I do feel like the bats of Arkansas, like I want to say the bats were a little bit cold of Arkansas, more so than Nebraska had great pitching. I don't think that's going to be something that they have as much issue with against NC State coming up. I think that NC State maybe lacks a little bit in pitching depth. So I'm really curious to see if there's a theme in the postseason or what we learn retrospectively about Nebraska as Arkansas continues along through the postseason.
Yeah, and cool story this weekend was watching Will Bolt and Dave Van Horn just kind of have that little battle back and forth. It was a protege and former mentor, because Will Bolt was a catcher on Dave Van Horn's Nebraska team that went to Omaha back in the early 2000s, I think.
Yeah, so it's safe to say that Dave Van Horn's career probably wouldn't have been the same without Will Bolt, and Will Bolt's career wouldn't have been the same without Dave Van Horn, because that Nebraska team getting to Omaha was part of what led to DVH's rise early on. And then Will Bolt, obviously, his personal baseball career and experience has helped him get into the world of coaching. So it's they've definitely benefited from each other. I think their interactions were a little more friendly than what happened in Knoxville with Vitello earlier this season in DVH.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know, it seems like for the most part I think Nebraska showed well and showed to us that they're probably going to be competitive in the Big Ten for years to come, and that Will Bolt was definitely taking that Nebraska team in the right direction.
Absolutely.
Let's move on over to the Pacific Northwest, where we had a really interesting regional. This was one of those regionals that I think you kind of circle heading into it as who knows exactly what's going to go on. So we're talking about the Eugene regional, and this was Oregon's regional that they were hosting. Oregon had the best season that they've had in a very long time since they brought back their baseball program. And it was, I think, a little bit of a case of this team hadn't really been there before. They hadn't, like, hosting a regional is not something that they're used to. And they get a Gonzaga team that also hasn't really had a ton of postseason experience. Also, that Gonzaga team was missing their Saturday starter. So that was an okay matchup. But then they also had LSU. And LSU is the opposite of that, right? LSU is just a season postseason team. The expectation there, even though there's a lot of young guys on this LSU team, the expectation and the culture at LSU is just that of postseason is a given. And there's a little bit of Mineri magic maybe too, because Paul Mineri announced that he was retiring. And I think, at least you like to tell the narrative. It's a fun story to tell that there's a little extra motivation in the dugout wanting to send him out on the right note.
Yeah. I mean, I think he told his players a few of the times over the weekend, like, y'all don't want to send me home, huh? Like, you don't want this to be my last game. So yeah, it was really cool. They like that last game, I think it was the last game. Yeah. The one that went back and forth, it was back and forth the entire game. I turned it on. I was like, oh, LSU's up 2-0 early. They've probably got this. They have the talent to keep this lead up. And then Oregon just came crawling back. And then LSU just came crawling back. And it was two-run bomb after two-run bomb that they just traded that. It was fun. And then Oregon had a chance to win it. There were two runners on in the top of the ninth because they were the away team that last game. And yeah, they had a chance to win it or send it over to extras at least. And they couldn't get it done, but hats off to LSU for a really fun regional win.
And it's kind of, I like to think of it as some cosmic justice, because 2019, a couple of years ago, when Mike Martin Sr. was taking his last run, where Florida State ultimately was one of the last teams in the tournament and ended up in Omaha that year, they went through the Baton Rouge Super Regional. So LSU got Mike Martin that postseason. And, you know, it's hard to get in the way of destiny. And now destiny's paying back LSU, taking this team that was one of the last 5-6 teams to make it into the tournament and giving them a shot at the Super Regional. I don't know if we like to just ascribe meaning to stories like this, but at least it's a fun story. I like the idea of an LSU team under Paul Mineri making a run in his last season.
So you're saying Oregon's Mark Wasikowski should have announced his retirement before, just to kind of like offset that mojo a little bit?
Yeah, I don't know. you know what? Yes, it seems foolproof. Just every coach announces their retirement, so then their players are a little extra motivated. There's nothing that could backfire there.
Definitely nothing.
And LSU earned a right to go on the road at Knoxville again, where they got swept earlier this season. Let's move down the West Coast a little bit. We don't need to talk too long about this regional, but I want to talk about Cody Huff of Stanford, because he had a two grand slam game against UC Irvine. He had three home runs on the weekend after having two home runs in the regular season. So, I mean, if you're going to get hot at some point, it's not a bad idea to do it.
Now's the time to do it.
Eight RBI in one game. That was another regional that was, I would say, a really entertaining regional. The biggest surprise, in my opinion, there was Nevada, which had one of the best offenses in the country, just totally laying an egg in that regional. But Stanford escaped from that regional and will travel to Lubbock. But I'm really curious to see, can Huff's bat stay hot in the desert of West Texas? Because that could be a real offensive bash going down that super regional. The most compelling upsets happened in Gainesville over the weekend. So I remember in one of my things I wrote up in preview for that, I think I basically said, it's a two-team race between Florida and Miami, and it's a little bit of a coin flip who's going to get out of that regional. And of course, those were the first two teams eliminated from the regional. Who could have seen South Florida and South Alabama, though? Like, who could have seen that coming?
Yeah, definitely not me. And the funny thing is, they didn't even get to play each other, Miami and Florida. After Miami won the series in Florida's brand new ballpark to start the year, they didn't even get to play each other, and they're both gone before that regional final round. So, I mean, it was crazy.
Did you watch that Florida elimination game? It was the most, I don't know, epitome of their entire season of just not being able to put it together. They had this weird, like, ground ball outplay on a full count that was apparently the third base umpire had called time, like, halfway through the pitcher's motion. So they had to redo the pitch, and he walks the guy. And that was ultimately to get to two outs. So that would have been the third out in the inning. And then, like, the wheels just totally fall off. South Alabama had 10 hits in a row against Florida.
I'm looking at it now. Oh yeah, my God.
There ended up then after that being like a rain delay, and Florida was down by like 17 or something runs, I think, during the rain delay. They had to go into the dugout and just sit with that and come back out and then finally mercifully get laid to rest by the Jaguars. I mean,
yeah, that's a 10 run inning for
yeah. That's not how Florida drew up this weekend.
No, I mean, that's crazy. It was just single, 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 RBI single, still second, a single, advance on the throw. God, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, it was just a disaster. Yeah, I mean, maybe a fitting bookend after starting the year number one, losing a series at home against Miami, to barely getting able to host a regional, getting swept in your own regional. It's not the best bookend, but kind of wraps up in a nice little bow. Well, the Florida story of this last year, just never quite putting it together.
Yeah, man, we were so close to getting, well, not close. We were, I guess, at the beginning projecting that Texas and Florida matchup, that would be a really fun thing to watch, but
yeah.
Now it's Texas gets a four seed who is hot at the right time, I guess, but it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm going to like hashtag cold takes myself, because I had Florida getting to the College World Series championship.
Me too.
Series. No, I had them getting to the championship series and losing to Arkansas.
Oh, wow. Yeah, this is the battle of Charlie Strong's former employers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a fun.
Texas and USF.
Yeah, so but after Texas got one of the easiest regionals, in my opinion, now they have the easiest super regional matchup. And, you know, it's not like no one gets to Omaha easily, but if anyone's going to do it, it's going to be Texas this year, because by no fault of their own, their draw set up pretty easily for them.
Yeah, it's a little surprising that the one seed didn't get the easiest, but yeah, they definitely lucked out.
Yeah, I mean, especially with Florida and Miami losing. If one of those teams had won, the narrative would be a little bit different. I want to also talk a little bit about not so USF, won this regional, and after sneaking in by winning the American Conference tournament, they, along with ECU, actually combined for like a really successful weekend for the American. So there's two teams from the American that made the tournament, and both of them ended up in the super regionals. So they did better, obviously, than the Big Ten. Big Ten has no super regional teams. Pac-12 has just two. The Big 12 has just two. So I'd say a pretty successful postseason start for the American so far.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they 100% for the teams they sent to the tournament. And they could make it 100% in Omaha, but it's unlikely, but it's possible.
Yeah, who has a better shot in your opinion? USF over Texas or ECU over Vanderbilt?
Oh, super regional round sets up really well for Vanderbilt with Jack Leiter and Kumar Rocker. So
I don't think it sets up all that badly for Texas, though, either. Ty Madden and then any of their next guys up. Hanson, Steven.
That's why they're the 2 and 4 seeds overall, respectively. So,
yeah,
I would guess Vanderbilt, or I mean ECU, has a better chance to be if Vanderbilt has like one bad pitch could really change a game in that series. I don't know, that Texas ballpark really sets up well for the Longhorns. Did you see there was one over the weekend? Arizona State's batter. It was in a game. I think it was Arizona State Fairfield.
Oh my goodness! Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
You do? Okay. Well, yes. I don't know, but Arizona State's hitter. I think he hit a triple, or maybe it was like a double, and then advancing to third on the throw. But he ran past the bat, or slid past the bag because of the carpet that is their turf at Dishfalk Field, and then got tagged out, like trying to come back to it. It was pretty sad to watch.
I thought you were going to talk about something else where there's a Fairfield Arizona State game. A Fairfield pitch goes off, a wild pitch goes past the catcher, who was the backup catcher because Fairfield was missing their captain and their.
He got hit in the face.
Like bunt fouled into his face and has to have like reconstructive surgery on his jaw. So the captain had to miss the regional. But, anyways, backup catcher allows a. It was a wild pitch. It wasn't a pass ball. And it goes into the front pocket of the home plate umpire. Oh, it just went straight in. And by rule, this is how I learned a baseball rule. I feel like every time you watch baseball, it's an opportunity to learn a new rule. Because it's out of play, so all their runners advanced. And that gave Arizona State the lead.
That's insane.
A tie game, 6-6. Arizona State got the lead. Fairfield ended up coming back and hitting a 3-run home run and winning that game 9-7 and eliminating Arizona State. But imagine if that had been the game-winning run.
Yeah. Like, okay, so why does the ump even need a pocket right there? I feel like that should happen more often than it does. Like, the umps are always, like, leaning over.
You got to go watch the video on Twitter or something because it's like a 1 in a million thing. Like, I don't know if it's going to be a weekly occurrence.
They should put little, like Velcro things over it so it doesn't happen again.
It might be the most unique way I've ever seen a run scored. Was it a year? No, 2 years ago, I think it was in a conference tournament game. Pitcher won a new ball but forgot to call time and just threw the ball out of play.
Oh, yeah.
And a run scored. I don't know. That's at least in the same category.
Yeah. Or like back in like 2014 or 15 when the Rangers were in the playoffs and MLB, this is wildly off course, but Rangers were in the playoffs and I think it was Shin-Soo Choo was like doing the thing every time where he like puts his bat out in front of him and it was within the batter's box, but the pitcher was trying to throw home because Rougned Odor was stealing and then the catcher was throwing the ball back to the pitcher and the ball hit the bat. Rougned Odor stole home and the Rangers were in the lead. They ended up losing that game, but it was still a crazy run that was scored. Yeah, whatever.
You always see something new in baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of something new, I want to talk about Brandon Neek, the Virginia reliever who in part set up that Virginia team. This was an elimination game. Helped give Virginia the win. he threw 5 2/3 inning as a reliever. Pretty impressive, right? Getting that long over three inning save. So he retired a total of 17 batters, right? 5 2/3 times 3, 17. Of those 17 batters he faced, he struck out 16 of them. Like, that is insane. His career high was 4 strikeouts. He beat his career high by 12 strikeouts.
That was in one game?
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God. One game, he retired 16 batters. He gave up a couple of hits, so 3 hits, 2 walks, but no runs, no earned runs. Faced a total of 24 batters. But of the 17 outs, he recorded 16 were by the strikeout. Ultimately, Virginia came back. So that was against Old Dominion. They won in game 7 against Old Dominion. So that's a 3 seed advancing. And they'll be playing on the other side from the Fort Worth Regional, another 3 seed, Dallas Baptist, who advances to their second ever Super Regional. They had to do it the hard way, but TCU got eliminated early in that one. And ultimately, Dallas Baptist, it took 2 tries, but they eliminated Oregon State and advanced to a Super Regional, which I think sets up a really intriguing matchup there. But anything else you want to talk about with the regionals before we move on to going ahead and doing some predictions for the Super Regionals?
Just real quick, that Dallas Baptist, Oregon State, those last 2 games there, those are some really fun baseball games that were really intense. Dallas Baptist was 2-0 going into that regional final, and Oregon State took it 5-4. I think it was a pretty close game. And then same thing going into that next game, the if necessary game the next day, Oregon State had the lead 5-0, and Dallas Baptist scored the next 8 runs to win the game. But it was one of them to put them on top was a grand slam. And it was just an electric, hit. Like,
yeah, that I didn't see it coming. All had a lot of Dallas Baptist fans in it for sure.
Oh yeah, and that was great for them. It was great, set up really well for them.
Yeah, one thing too, I think an interesting storyline from the regionals that we haven't quite touched on. Arizona State ended up getting eliminated by Fairfield. We did mention that. That cost Tracy Smith his job. Yeah. It's his 7th year there. Was a 7th year at Arizona State. He hadn't advanced to a Super Regional in his time there, and Arizona State is the expectation is Omaha. But my first thought was shocked. Like, I was blown away. I knew there was a lot of discontent amongst fans, but I kind of thought it was that somewhat casual discontent that would kind of escape from, because last year Arizona State was a top 5 team, and they had Torkelson and Alika Wilson. They had just like a ridiculous team. This year, they lost their entire weekend rotation due to injury, and they still made it to a regional. But if you read the press release, it was pretty short from Arizona State's AD. It basically was like, we expect to make it to deeper in the postseason. We're tired of not going to Omaha, was like a paraphrasing of it. So
the last one to Omaha in 2010. So I guess it's been a little while, but
the latest rumors on the rumor mills seem to have Arizona Diamondback coach in the running for the job. I can't remember the name, but maybe look into the professional ranks too.
Did you see the comment by the Arizona athletic director saying like, we don't have the luxury basically to get lavish coaches with compensation and just like spend a ton of money? I kind of expected that they would be able to spend a ton of money on a baseball coach if they want Arizona State
you're talking about still?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought about Arizona. You said Arizona. Like Jay Johnson at Arizona. I think that they are happy with each other right now. They just made a Super Regional. But yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, Arizona State, they want to make it to Omaha, but they also don't want to spend a bunch of money on coaches. Those are kind of counterintuitive. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll be really curious to see who they hire. Let's do one more coaching rumor mill talk before we get into Super Regional. The rumblings online is that Schlossnagel to A&M is trending in the direction of it's going to happen. I don't know if you've heard anything. I haven't heard anything confirmatory of that. But there are stronger rumblings in that direction.
I haven't heard anything since earlier today. Or just like, I don't know, continuing to read the coaching rumors stuff on D1. But yeah, what news lately?
I think one of the most interesting things generally is because TCU was eliminated early and because Florida was eliminated early, I think we're going to get a lot of more action on some of these. I don't know. I'm really curious if LSU, so it feels like LSU might be waiting for Vitello or maybe Godwin, and both of them are still in the postseason. But if any of them's out of the postseason, TCU's out of the postseason. I feel like if Schlossnagel is going to happen to A&M, it's going to happen soon.
Yeah. And One Team, One Podcast on Twitter was reported earlier that LSU's Board of Supervisors rejected O'Sullivan from Florida and that he has told his team he's staying at Florida. So that's, I think that was their top guy. They'll say that the person that they get is their top guy, but
yeah,
it's been long rumored that O'Sullivan and LSU had some flirtings.
All right, you're slowly at Florida right now. LSU picks up the phone, offers you a job. Are you taking it? Or are you staying at Florida?
So I'm Sullivan, who's already at Florida, not just me who wants.
Yeah. Assuming you actually have the credentials in this scenario.
Okay, then I'd stay at Florida. Like a lot of people are saying, like I don't think Florida's a good job because their fans don't care there. But I don't care. You can like throw a rock out of your window and get a top 10 recruiting class just by being in Florida. So I think it's easy to continue winning there. And you're in the less deep SEC West. East. So I think, yeah, that's a great setup.
I'm on Team LSU. I would want to be at a school that cares more about baseball than Florida. And the regional atmosphere in Gainesville, like during their elimination game, I don't know, there's maybe 1,000, 2,000 fans there. Maybe that's an underestimation, but it was just the quietest atmosphere at a regional besides maybe Stanford, which there's no one that lives there and cares about baseball. So they weren't going to have a shot at that. But in Florida, I mean, maybe you kind of expect them to at least be able to sell out their brand new ballpark for the postseason. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to make some super regional predictions. We'll be back in just a second. Welcome back to the College Baseball Nation podcast. John and Kyle still here. And now we're going to be taking our best shot at predicting what's going to happen in the super regional round. I think that like on a whole, we did okay with the regional round. It was difficult to pick USF, for instance. No one really saw that coming. But I think both of us got the NC State upset. You got Virginia upset. So I feel like we're doing all right with this.
Yeah, I got 10 out of the 16 teams. I don't know if you've counted how many you've got.
I haven't, right. But I did notice that in our most recent top 50, all 10 of the top 10 made it to the super regional, which I don't know how much of that is to give us credit and how much of that is to say like it went a little bit chalky in some of these. And even like, for instance, NC State, which was a 2 seed, we actually had them ranked number 13 heading into the week. So, maybe a little bit chalky in general with the regionals. I went back to our preseason top 50 and we did all right, actually, picking on some of these teams. Like we had Florida and UCLA 1 and 2, and we had Louisville at 7, TCU at 9, and they didn't make it. But even we had Virginia at number 10. They made it to a super regional. That's kind of fun. We had Arizona, Texas, LSU all up there, Texas Tech, Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, Arkansas, Mississippi State, ECU. So we did all right. I think maybe the team that we didn't see coming the most was Stanford.
Yeah, that I mean, and then I guess kind of USF, but they were kind of picked to be the bottom of the American, so that was a little shocking. But yeah, Stanford started last year, I think something like 5-13 or something, like I don't know, something really, really bad start. They lost some talent to injury and draft unexpectedly, and even some opt-outs, I don't remember. But no, I guess that wouldn't have been an opt-out yet. But yeah.
It was just a weird team. a team last year that had no offense and now is hitting home runs left and right. So that one, I would say, is probably the best. We didn't see it coming, and then they ended up having pretty sustained success. USF was one of those, like, they were 500 heading into conference tournaments and happened to get hot. And I don't know of any way you can predict who's going to do that. Like, randomly, when you have 300 teams and 30 conference tournaments or whatever, there's going to be one of those. So I don't feel too bad about missing on USF.
Yeah, that'll be a bit of an outlier on your CBR rankings or your CBR.
Yeah, they I don't think they cracked the top 25 in that. But let's take a stab now looking forward. And I think I just want to go through the eight super regionals and each do our pick and just do a straight up regular old pick 'em. We've done some complicated draft style things and whatnot, but you know what? It's postseason time. Let's just put our money where our mouth is, lay it on the line, and make some picks here.
All right.
Let's start with the number one team in the nation. They have a pretty tough super regional draw with NC State. What are you thinking? What are you thinking about? What's going to be the difference in this super regional?
I mean, you mentioned that NC State doesn't really have a ton of pitching depth, so it's going to be pivotal for Arkansas to get on them early. I think Arkansas will end up winning this series. I think it could go to game three. Arkansas was a little bit iffy also in their starter depth. They have an insane bullpen led by none other than Kevin Copps. So I think, this is a series that could go to game three. I don't think Arkansas really can lose this, especially as playing in Fayetteville. That really helps.
Yeah, my instinct and my choice is going to be both Arkansas. I think that NC State is a really hot team that will bring a lot to the table in this super regional, but I'm not going to pick against Arkansas here.
No.
I do think the recipe that you talk about, though, is the recipe of where things go wrong, is if Arkansas doesn't get a good start, like even in the NJIT game in the regional, they went through 7 different pitchers, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, not what you want against a team like NJIT. Caleb Bolden only went 1 1/3. They had 4 different relievers or 5 different relievers give up a run in that one. Only a couple of impressive performances from the bullpen. Ryan Kostjuh did okay. Kevin Copps. You got to be a little bit worried about starting pitching. With that said, though, instead of having to win 3 games, you only have to win 2. And it's a lot easier to pull the hook on a pitcher not performing. Arkansas demonstrated in the regional that they can do that, get away with it, put Copps in whenever they need it. And that works.
He'll go 7 innings in relief. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, it really does feel like he could start game 1 and 2 and Arkansas would be able to rely upon him. But I think we both have Arkansas on this one. Let's go to this is the bracket that would be matched up with them in Omaha. It's the Lubbock Super Regional, number 8 Texas Tech, number 9 Stanford. In theory, this is the closely matched in the rankings, the matchup. Texas Tech advanced to its, it swept its 3rd straight regional in Lubbock. So they swept the Lubbock regional this year in 2019, 2018. Texas Tech doesn't lose very often in Lubbock.
No.
You see them losing this weekend, or are you going with the Red Raiders?
I don't see them losing this weekend. I think Tech's got this. This is another one of those that you kind of also mentioned earlier. Stanford has the offense that could play really well in
exactly
in the desert. I think, didn't Stanford win their series in Arizona? No, that must have been at home.
Yeah, they played Arizona at home, won that series. They played UCLA at home and won that series. And that's kind of the data point that I want to compare.
Yeah.
So UCLA just went into Lubbock and lost and was like somewhat competitive. I mean, made it to a regional final, but they lost to the 3 seed in that regional. Who's escaping?
North Carolina.
There we go. And had to come back out of loser's brackets, beat them the second time around. I think Stanford's better than UCLA. So I think Stanford will give Texas Tech more of a run for their money. But I have to say, this is the individual pick that I have thought about the most. I have thought a lot about this. I have internally debated, does Stanford's offense actually have what it takes to go to Lubbock and win a super regional? And I really want to say yes, because I think Stanford's a good amount better than UCLA. But
yeah, so a data point to help you with that is, I was looking for this earlier. Stanford did go to Arizona State and like pretty much lit them up offensively. It was 11-9 and 13-5 in their two victories. They won that series in the desert. So there is precedence of that happening for Stanford's offense.
But and go ahead, this Stanford team does have players that were on that team that played a super regional at Mississippi State. And
right.
No knock on the law, but the dude is a tougher place to play. So like they have that experience of playing in a ridiculously hostile environment. Mm-hmm. With all that said, I ultimately decided that if I picked against Texas Tech in back-to-back rounds and Texas Tech won back-to-back rounds, I would just totally be kicking myself. So I'm going Texas Tech here. I didn't decide it until just this moment, but I'm going Texas Tech.
Yeah, I had picked Texas Tech in the pick'em anyway to make it on over Stanford. So I'm going to stick with that pick'em.
See, I had picked UCLA to win the Lubbock Regional. I had Stanford over UCLA. Now that Texas Tech advanced, in the scenario I drew up, Stanford would have been hosting the Super Regional against UCLA. Now that Stanford has to go to Texas Tech, it's 51-49, but I'm leaning Texas Tech.
It's definitely close. Yeah. I mean, I want to see if Stanford's offense can be as effective as it was up in Palo Alto. But these are all games that we're looking forward to, like the first six at least we're talking about.
Tim Tadlock just has a way. He just knows how to get teams to Omaha. Like he took Micah Dallas as starter and threw him as a closer, and just every postseason it seems like he takes a starting rotation and this like, you know, put some names in a hat and totally changes the roles around. At least that's what it looks like from the outside looking in. And then lo and behold, the Red Raiders are in Omaha again. So I've stopped trying to understand exactly what goes through his mind, but I just know it works.
Yeah, I mean, you got a formula that works out there. It's going to keep working, I guess.
Yeah, and it's been a minute since Stanford's been to Omaha. So give me the Red Raiders. Before I change my mind, let's move on to the other section of that Omaha quadrant, and that's let's go Vanderbilt, East Carolina. This is the 4 overall seed versus the 13 overall seed. East Carolina has yet to win a super regional. If memory serves me correct, this is their 6th appearance now in a super regional. They swept through the Greenville regional pretty convincingly. The last time they were in a super was the Louisville super 2 years ago, and it took them 7 games to get through the Greenville regional that year. They didn't really show up to a Louisville super regional. They kind of just got smoked in that super regional, but they're going to come a lot fresher, I think, out of the Greenville regional. And I think this is going to be a year where they have a shot at pulling the upset. Can the Pirates get it done? But more importantly, will they get it done?
See, a funny thing is I actually had picked Charlotte to win that regional over East Carolina, but yeah, I have Vandy going on to Omaha over ECU. There's a little bit of a home field advantage, especially with that dreaded Whistler. But it's hard to beat the combination of Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter. It's been done a few times this year. They've lost 2 series on the year, and then they lost in Hoover. But yeah, it's been done. If one of those pitchers is good. A good weekend or a good day, because they don't really have a third starter. They have a few other options that are decent, and their bullpen is pretty good. So for ECU to get it done, they have to beat one of Kumar Rocker and ECU, and Jack Leiter. And I think Vanderbilt gets it done.
Yeah, I think the way I think about this Vanderbilt team is that they set up way better in a 3-game series than they do in regional format.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And
I think that's going to make them really dangerous. I think one thing that I've been kind of flawed about in thinking about this Vanderbilt team is, you know, like all it takes is for Rocker or for Leiter to have a bad game, and all of a sudden, you know, this maybe the super regional goes the other way. And yes, they have not found a consistent third starter. But with that said, they were right around 500 in game threes in the SEC. So it's not like they were just losing every single game three. Like, they still have the type of offense that can score 8, 9, 10, 11 runs. They're one of those 1-9 offenses where they can get it done throughout the lineup. I think that Vanderbilt wins this super and makes it back to Omaha for the millionth time in the last 5 years. All right. They would be paired up with the winner of Arizona and Ole Miss, the number 5 versus the number 12 overall seed. Arizona won the Pac-12. They made it through the Tucson regional. Ole Miss survived Southern Miss's best attempt, and Tim Elko's one good ACL plus hashtag Doug Day, Doug Nikhazy, really powered that Ole Miss team into the super regional. Can they get it done without their ace Gunnar Hoglund, which they've been doing now for the last couple months?
How about Doug Nikhazy coming out of that bullpen? Like, I think he had pitched two other times in the weekend and then came out of the bullpen again against Southern Miss on Monday, just because they really needed him. He only went an inning and a third, but that's really all he needed. He let up a home run because Southern Miss, all they do is hit home runs and nothing else. But yeah, and then also Tim Elko had more home runs than he had working ACLs on that Monday,
including a grand slam. Second grand slam of the weekend, I think.
I think so. I lost count. He's got too many RBIs.
Yeah. Statues that need to be built, a Tim Elko one in Oxford and a Kevin Copps one in Fayetteville. Like,
yeah, for real.
Just put those up.
Put the Tim Elko one on crutches or something. Just take out his knee or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Or just have his super ACL brace on, which he probably has underneath his uniform.
Yeah. We can't see it. Yeah. So this one is in Tucson. For Arizona, and I was trying to look this up. They only lost one series on the year, maybe two. And this is set up like weekend series wise. No, they lost two, I think, Stanford and UCLA. So yeah, I think this sets up pretty well for Arizona being at home. They have a pretty good offense, and that pitching staff really limited UCSB over the weekend, only allowing two runs over two games. I give me Arizona here. It's might be hard to pick against the magic of Ole Miss, but I'm gonna do it.
Oh, so you're 4-for-4 on chalk right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, the whole left side of the bracket was chalk. Besides NC State, which, I mean, they're essentially a 17 seed. I don't know. It's all chalk.
Yeah, I'm looking. My gut tells me. You know what? I'm just gonna go. I'm pulling the trigger on Ole Miss here.
Wow, you're making it 3-for-4 SEC teams on that regional.
Yeah, I think Arizona. Arizona could win 20-9. In game one and two, just totally outslug them. It's definitely a possibility. Arizona's had some issues with Chase Silseth, their Friday night guy. He's when he's on, he's on. When he's not, he's not. While Ole Miss has not necessarily had as much problems, they have a little bit more consistency from their top end guy, Doug Nikhazy, and they have Broadway, who's been had a few moments throughout the season where he hasn't been as consistent, but there's just a few more arms on that Ole Miss team that I feel better about than I do on Arizona's team. So give me the Rebs.
That's fair.
Let's go back up to the top side of the other half of the bracket. So this would be the other group of four in Omaha, Texas at South Florida, Bulls versus Longhorns. Which horned creature gets out of the Austin Super Regional?
Well, if I had to pick mascots, I would say the bull. They're a little bit more wily, but yeah, give me the Longhorns here. Their pitching sets up really well for Super Regional round setup. They didn't lose many weekend series in the year, just one to Texas Tech. Yeah, and they have They have Ty Madden. They got Pete Hansen. They got, I mean, they have the pitching that they need to get them to Omaha. This is where pitching depth really comes in handy.
Yeah, I like Texas in this series, and I'm starting to like Texas a good amount more, just generally for their chances in Omaha as well. They haven't been stressed at all. They're going to be one of the most rested teams, I think, when it comes just to this regional, but also when it comes to potentially making it to Omaha. I really like this Texas team right now. Give me the Longhorns.
Not really much to overthink about that one.
Yeah, I mean, USF, no one saw them coming in the American tournament. No one saw them coming in the Gainesville regional. No one sees them coming maybe still, or no one's thinking much about them in the Austin Super Regional. So, of course, I mean, they've been winning games. They found ways to do it. It wouldn't be, I mean, at some point, they've earned some respect, right? They've been winning over the last couple of weeks, but Texas is just in a totally different class from South Florida, and the same how Texas was against Arizona State and Fairfield. Texas is in a totally different talent class from their opponents that they've been playing.
Yep, I agree.
Mississippi State and Notre Dame, number 7 versus number 10 seed. This is pretty intriguing. This is, I think it's hairy. How much do you take into account Notre Dame's absolute thrashing of Central Michigan and of UConn? How much of that do you chalk up to weird Midwest New England happenings? How much do you take into account Mississippi State winning their regional, which was one of the weakest regionals out there with VCU and Campbell in it? Who do you like here in this matchup?
I think I'm going to have to go chalk again here. It's in Starkville. We saw how teams coming into Super Regional round like a few years ago, dealing with the noise there, the cowbells and everything. I think they're allowing 100% capacity. It's been like that for a while. I don't think anything's changed there. I think Mississippi State's just playing really well at the right time. They swept through their regional pretty well. Give me the Bulldogs.
Notre Dame hasn't seen anything like the dude. They've traveled on the road actually really well in the ACC. A lot of that was with stadium attendance restrictions. So Notre Dame hasn't experienced a crowd like this. Notre Dame hasn't been to Omaha in a while. Notre Dame hasn't really competed at the top level of college baseball in a while. To Link Jarrett's credit, head coach there at Notre Dame, he's gotten them in this position, but at the same time, inexperienced, traveling on the road to one of the toughest places to play. Just, I've used this as a data point a few times. That Stanford team that lost in the Starkville Regional a couple of years ago was a team that was consistent, like it was the number 3 or 2 overall seed in 2018. Like that was a Stanford team that had been there before, and they still went to the dude and just got beat. I don't think the Notre Dame team can do it.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's hop down to the bottom. So it's going to be number 3 Tennessee facing SEC foe LSU. This is the second time they played a 3-game series in Knoxville. First time around, Tennessee swept LSU. Do we see history repeat, or does Paul Menieri's swan song get another verse longer?
I think this is where his story comes to an end, at least with LSU. I have Tennessee going on here. I picked them going to Omaha over Oregon before, but Oregon lost that series. I could see this going wrong if Tennessee's starters just like can't get it under control. I think LSU has the offensive talent to play really well there. I think it's a pretty small smaller outfield, and LSU's got some pretty good offense. Has a pretty good offense, so. There's a chance, I think, but
Knoxville's playing super offensively right now. Like it seemed like every other guy coming up to bat in the Knoxville regional is hitting a home run. A storyline that we haven't touched on too much is, man, do I feel bad for Wright State, because they had Tennessee on the ropes, up by 3, bottom of the 9th in game 1 of that regional, and walk off grand slam by Gilbert of Tennessee. Come back around the next morning, Wright State has to play again and gets eliminated by a red-hot Duke team. That Wright State team was one out away from the winner's bracket and then was eliminated in like a blink of an eye. So Tennessee had their hands full with their regional. But I do feel really good. Last week's podcast, I know we both talked ourselves into picking Tennessee to win that regional because we both were like, oh, Duke's really hot. But we both made the switch the last minute, and that was a good idea. I'm sticking with the Vols. I have them in Omaha as well. I think that there's a really legitimate chance that Tennessee, Texas get matched up in the bracket final of this bracket. I really like Tennessee to advance. The last series we have is Virginia-Dallas Baptist, and this one by definition can't be chalked. There's no one seed here. This is going to be played, of course, in Columbia, South Carolina, because where else would you play the Super Regional? Which I would say, I guess, advantage to Virginia, because one of the other options would have been Fort Worth. But because of the way they did Super Regional assignments this year, it had to be in one of the 16 sites, and they actually hadn't finished the Old Dominion Virginia game when they announced the sites. And I guess they just went with the highest seed. So they were like, well, if Old Dominion's still in the tournament, maybe we should have it in South Carolina. Maybe I'm giving NCAA too much credit for thinking about this. Maybe they were just like, whatever.
Just use one. Yeah, no, that's a possibility. Like, if there is a chance that Old Dominion could do it, it's going to be in South Carolina. I guess it would have been in South Carolina, I guess, but
yeah,
so they just left it that way. Yeah, it would have been cool to see it in Fort Worth. I mean, it's really it maybe gives too much advantage to Dallas Baptist.
Or so wait for it. What if it was at UVA or DBU?
I mean, that's too much to ask, apparently.
Yeah,
can't change their mind, but I don't know who would have had a better chance at doing that. I think.
Probably UVA.
Yeah, they would have had to bid for it. It would have been a whole ordeal.
But that's like, I get it. I get it. It's the COVID year, all that. But Mike and Rooney made this point on Squeeze Play over the weekend. It's like we kind of come a long way since some of these decisions were made. And yeah, like I get they were made with good intent. And if you were worried that for whatever reason, like a site had to get shut down because of an outbreak, or I don't know what your thought process was, but like, I get it that like they didn't want to risk a regional going totally awry because of this, but that was several months ago. Things have only gotten better. It seems like I feel pretty confident that if you asked UVA to host some baseball games this weekend, they'd be able to do it.
Yeah. I mean, he really can't like change his mind this late in the game, I guess.
Yeah, it's, you know, no weakness. Can't show signs of personal growth because that's just a sign of weakness.
Right.
But regardless where this is played, someone's going to go to Omaha between these two teams. And who's it going to be?
I had already picked Virginia. I had already picked the upset in that Columbia regional to make it to Omaha through like over TCU. So I'm going to stick with that pick. They turned it around after a pretty bad start in ACC play. They lost way too many series, and then they kind of squeaked in. They weren't one of the last four in, but they were kind of on the bubble. They were on the bubble pretty late into the season, and then they did well after that. So, give me Virginia here.
I think that both of these teams have fairly compelling stories where Virginia was team that got hot late. Dallas Baptist pretty much dominated the Missouri Valley Conference. They beat up on Indiana State. They were clearly the class of the league and handled the Fort Worth Regional that had a tough TCU, tough Oregon State team in it pretty well. I mean, it took them two tries, but they won game one, two, back-to-back, defeating Oregon State and TCU to get to the winner's bracket. That was the first time they've done that, where they've just gone straight to the winner's bracket like that. And I think this is a better DBU team than we've seen in years past that have competed at this level. I'm going to go Dallas Baptist on this one. I want to see the Patriots in Omaha.
Yeah, I mean, this is a Dallas Baptist team that is, of the tournament teams, like all 64, they had the 10th highest team WOBA. They hit the third most home runs in that regional. They struck out. Not that much, like some, but not a ton. So just a really, really good offense.
And they have a couple of guys that throw mid-90s. Like, I feel like Dallas Baptist just has like a secret supply somewhere in the state of Texas that somehow missed, like, that Texas and A&M and TCU and Tech miss out on, where there's just like a couple mid-90s guys that show up and you're like, how the heck, like, where'd you come from? So Dallas Baptist has like a fairly complete team, so I'm picking DBU to make it to Omaha.
Is that the first time that we've disagreed?
No, I picked Ole Miss.
Oh, you picked Ole Miss. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So six of the eight are the same. We got a couple of differences there. We'll see how this goes. I for one, am super excited for super regional action to start up this weekend.
Super excited.
I am super excited. I don't know if you got anything else done over the weekend, but I had literally squeeze play on the entire time I was awake that it was on.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I was going on a little journey with all three of those people.
Yeah, I feel like Mike Rooney moved into my apartment. Like, I feel like I have this voice in my head running around right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't get a whole lot done else besides that.
All right, we'll see who takes the cake this week in the pick'em. But that's all we have for this week's podcast. Super stoked for super regional action. Go watch some baseball. Kyle, thanks for joining me on the podcast.
Of course.
Thanks for listening to the College Baseball Nation podcast. If you haven't already, subscribe to and rate the podcast. It helps get out the word. Also, follow us on our social media at CollegeBallMatt on Twitter and Instagram. You can find all of our postseason coverage at our website, collegebaseball.info. Thanks for listening and have a great week.